is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Back to Salem today with the Oregon State Legislature. State Representative Cedric Hayden this afternoon joining us from literally just kind of the back end of the room. We haven't done this with anyone in a while, but there's literally a phone booth back there.
Yeah, so we're able to stand in the back of the chamber in a phone booth and be able to walk out and vote as the process continues here.
So give us your perspective. Of course, the big news out yesterday from the Oregon Health Authority regarding vaccination status and adapting to what the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention put out a few days earlier. But a lot of pushback in the last 24 hours over the ask of businesses to be verifying vaccination status of customers.
So this obviously is a pretty hot topic, and we have the CDC recommendations coming in that if you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear the mask anymore. The governor has not gone completely with the CDC on that, and she's saying, well, if you're outside, you don't have to wear the mask, but if you want to prove that you're vaccinated, then you can, do that indoors, basically. I'm paraphrasing her, her updates here. But basically what that does is it puts the onus on the businesses to try and determine who's vaccinated or not, in effect, setting up a vaccine passport. And I think this is a really bad precedent. It's not one that I support going forward. We've got five counties that have gotten that 65% vaccinated level that drops them to the low category, and then once they're up to 70, they get to drop out of this tiered system. So, I think it's really a bad idea to say you've got to carry around in your pocket or a picture on your phone or something that you've been vaccinated in order to enter a store or something like that, but then say, well, it's up to the businesses to have to be the police. Your Costco is now your police or whatever on vaccination police. So I just think it's a really bad precedent and don't support it.
One of the first states in the country, it appears, after New York to take this course, so it is not one that is commonly being done.
No, and if you after the CDC came up with that, even the president was questioned on it and basically said we're not enforcing it. This is an honor system, and from a public health aspect, if you are concerned or haven't been vaccinated and have that concern, now the theory behind vaccinations are you get vaccinated to protect yourself and in effect protect others, so if you don't get sick. So if we believe that is what the purpose of the vaccination is, why are we then saying that you've got to either continue to wear the mask or do these certain things, not go certain places, or have something that says, hey, I got the vaccination. So, it's just setting us up for contention between people and businesses, and the governor's direction on this is really unclear. That's why one of the things that I requested as the vice chair of COVID to bring OSHA in. We had Boley in, and Director Woods will be there this afternoon, and we're going to ask some of those tough questions about the clarity and just the effectiveness of this approach, because I think it's really off base. I don't think Oregon should be going down that direction.
Now, what do you think about the impact on the business community? A lot of places right now, other than smaller retailers, already have had a person near the door just making sure that folks come in with masks and all of that. It's obviously been a tough 12, 14 months for businesses, and yet now being asked to do one more thing, which probably has much more contention than even the mask issue.
Well, if you're watching kind of what's happening as the CDC rolls out their rules, and then the governor, who often deviates from that when she feels fit to do that, and again, she is keeping that control solely under her purview rather than relying on the legislature as a legislative branch of power. We don't have any separation of power there. So, you know, some of the businesses are going to say, you know, hey, this is an honor system. And, you know, customers, if you're concerned, please wear your mask. If you've been vaccinated, you know, voluntarily, we'll accept that. And, you know, we're not going to, you know, make you show that passport. But the governor seems to be wanting to go down a different route than that. And so this is going to bring, again, contention among our businesses and our Oregonians on what's the right approach here. And you know, the CDC, I think, is laying out an approach that the governor could adopt, or she could relinquish that power rather than extending this as a permanent rule back to the legislature and let us discuss it in, you know, a more robust manner where you have 90 people giving input on it rather than just one. And so, you know, we're still stuck under these executive orders of one person saying it has to be this way that deviates from the science-based argument when it doesn't fit with her narrative, but then argues that we have to follow science when it does fit with her narrative. So it creates a very confusing situation for business owners, for individuals. And, you know, we've just got to quit, like I said many times in COVID committee, we've got to quit moving these goalposts.
We have heard a lot of comments since the announcement came out yesterday afternoon. Did a little bit of reading this morning briefly about New York's passport, which appears to be phone-based and rather high-tech looking. One of the things in New York from the advertising I saw, and I don't know if that was from the app folks or from the state of New York government itself, but talked about this being your key to going to concerts, sports, things like that. Obviously, that's a big deal in New York State, especially around the New York City area. And some people have said, well, you know, a lot of folks don't like it, but they said you already have to do that. You have to prove that your kids have been vaccinated in most cases for them to be in school. And there's other situations where travel sometimes necessitates you having to prove that you've been vaccinated against a certain thing. So how is that any different?
Well, I had to run out and look there really quick. You know, as far as getting vaccinated for, you know, requiring to go to schools and things like that, you have an opportunity to have, Oregon still has the opportunity there to, you know, have a religious or philosophical exemption or medical exemption to that. And we're not, you know, we're taking a vaccine that is still in the experimental phase of the FDA, and we're saying, hey, you've got to get, you know, 70% of that to the folks in order to open your counties up. And, you know, it's causing concern out there.
Well, how do you think the best way to navigate this situation is so we can get more of the business community backed up but still deal with the safety issues?
Well, you know, I would hope that the governor would say, okay, we've been through the 6 months and not extend these emergencies and relinquish some of that to a broader input of power. We have been drawing bills to the floor that would do that, not necessarily just wipe out the executive orders, but give power to the people through their elected officials. You know, when you have a supermajority on one side of the aisle, you really don't get a fair and balanced, at least discussion on the House floor or the Senate floor. And there's no really discussion to that. And so, you know, if I were able to have a request move forward, I think that she needs to move back immediately to that separation of powers and have us go through that process rather than keeping us under executive order, single person control.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back live from Salem. State Representative Cedric Hayden, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. On tomorrow's program, Douglas County Commissioner Chris Boyce will examine the issue of businesses in the area that are having a hard time finding workers right now. What might be contributing to that? Maybe what the county can do to help with the situation. And also, he'll talk about an upcoming outdoor job fair that's set for June 1st. County Commissioner Chris Boyce on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. Live from Salem on the floor of the Oregon House, State Representative Cedric Hayden. Just ahead of the break, we were talking about Republican interest in re-looking at the governor's executive orders and her ability to continue with this situation. Realistically, though, with the Republicans being in the minority, do you think you're going to get anywhere in trying to roll any of these back or get the governor to end the emergency situation?
Well, realistically, no. The short answer is no. And the reason behind that is we're currently in a situation where, even though, like I said earlier, we've been drawing some bills to the floor that would engage the entire legislative branch into some of these decisions, and we are getting a couple of our colleagues on the other side of the aisle to engage with that. That means I got a walking in vote here. We're getting a couple of our colleagues on the other side of the aisle to engage with that, but not enough at this point. Just a second here.
And again, this is live from Salem, Representative Hayden, who is in a phone booth and then stepping out to vote as things come up, as the session continues. So this is kind of a play-by-play of the legislature this afternoon as we let him do that.
So I'm back here. So, yeah, getting back to, you know, the executive orders, we have brought 3 or 4 or 5 bills down to the floor that breaks that up, gives some separation of power to discuss that. And, you know, we have to get 31 votes to get there. We don't have that. We got to pick up 8 votes from our colleagues on the other side. We're only picking up 2 or 3. So is it possible that this state legislature in Oregon would overturn that? Like, I think 1 or 2 other states have done that. I think Pennsylvania took some of those powers away. I don't see that possible in our supermajority. And so, you know, the problem is with a lot of our policies, whether our Second Amendment policies or, you know, separation of power policies, when we have these pandemic things that fall under, you know, natural disaster or pandemic disaster, these types of rules that allow the governor under our constitution to do that was set up for like a cascading event, a major breakdown of communication, highways, transportation. It wasn't meant to be extended 6 months and another permanent rule. It wasn't meant to do that. So do I think we can in the legislature with the current makeup reverse that? I sure would wish that we could, but I don't think that we will be able to until the governor actually lets go.
We have a number of counties going to lower risk on Friday due to the percentage of residents vaccinated. When I looked at the state vaccination dashboard yesterday, it sure showed some big differences around the state in just how many people, what percentage of people are vaccinated. Any thoughts as to why the difference is so broad?
Well, there's a lot of reasons that go into that. Some is vaccination preference, some is vaccination hesitancy, and I've been arguing on the COVID committee that I think a large percentage of that is we as individuals think back to last year, think, man, I was pretty sick, right? I wasn't feeling so good back in January, February, March of last year. And so I think there's people out there that feel like that they actually have the natural immunity. And I think that's true with a lot of them. So I presented that to Dr. Seidlinger, who's our state epidemiologist. I would point out that he actually doesn't have an epidemiology degree. He's a pediatrician, which I find a little strange. I said, okay, well, what about, you know, allowing or providing antibody tests? It costs about $40 to do that for people that feel like, hey, I've got this natural immunity to that as an educational thing. And it's just a non-starter with OHA. So I think there's a lot of factors. It's access. It's people feel like they've already gotten the natural immunity, and there's vaccine hesitancy to that, and the fact that this is still an experimental drug, and then you've got, you know, concerns with J&J being taken off the market and bring that on the market, and, you know, some risks with that. You have inherent risk with any medical procedure, and I think it's legitimate that people look at that and make their own decision. And as you know, in Oregon, we basically have two different states that have significant different philosophies, from Portland to Klamath Falls.
What about legislation? Let's kind of shift gears here. Legislation being considered this week of particular interest to folks in your district.
Well, I just finished actually at 12:31. I finished about a 12-minute speech on Senate Joint Resolution 12. Now, Senate Joint Resolution 12 has been around, or that concept has been around, pretty much as long as I've been in the legislature. And what that does is it makes health care a right. And so this is it was presented on the House floor as an aspirational goal, but I did an 18-page an attorney's opinion, what we call a legal opinion, from the attorneys that we have available to us here, to really drill down on that and ask a lot of questions. And they came back that it is actually a private right of action that's being passed on the floor once it's approved by the voters, that would give the ability of $4.2 million Oregonians potentially to sue the state for their quality of health care if they feel like it's not a high enough quality of health care. Now, if you take the 6% of folks that aren't covered in Oregon, that's about a $4 billion obligation of the state. And so, you know, that's a really big legislative policy that will be coming to voters once the governor signs that. It passed the House floor, it's passed the Senate, it will be going to the governor's desk, she'll sign it, and then it would be put into our Constitution as listed as a right to health care. And the interesting part about that, that I really drew out of that legislative, is the legislation, or the legislators have the ability to assign that $4 billion or whatever level of health care they provide. That's a Medicaid level for the amount of people that aren't covered. The 6% that aren't covered basically would cost the state about $4 billion. They can assign that to the states and get around the Article 11, Section 15, no unfunded mandates, by a 3/5 majority. And ironically, currently, the legislature enjoys a 3/5 majority, meaning at least 36 or 18. So once the voters approve it, they can pass it, and they can pass that cost on to our counties.
And as we continue on here, about 3 minutes left on Inside Douglas County, what about your committee work for legislation you're particularly pushing for? And I think we lost him briefly.
Yeah,
there we go.
I'm coming back. I had to run out and vote there on another bill. So I'm working on, I dropped 12 bills, and one of those got absorbed into gotten stuff on another bill. So 11 bills. I think I have 10 of those that are still moving forward, and those range from homeowner association restrictions to funding that the governor cut for families with individuals that have disabilities. She completely cut out their budget to assist them at home, to an actual public option, which is a healthcare thing, a large policy that I wrote on public option that would bring all of our aspects together, commercial insurance, Medicaid, have collaboration with something called the 1115 waiver and the 1331 waivers that do some of the healthcare funding through the federal government, bring those together and figure out how we can get this affordable access to quality healthcare for all of our Oregonians, but not do it under a private right of action. So those are some of the big things that I've been working on legislative-wise. I'm not opposed to great access to health care. I think that's a good idea. But when you set that up against, you know, your public safety budgets, your school budgets, everything that we do, and say, well, this one's a private right of action and folks can sue over that one, parents can't sue for their child to have better access to education.
What about the timing of this session? Is a special session going to be needed to get everything done and get the budget finalized?
No, this afternoon around 3 o'clock, we get the May forecast, and that's what kicks off budget discussions. So we will be having budget discussions rolling into the Ways and Means. I serve on a couple of those committees. So the time is there, still left in this regular session to do that, and I don't see that we would necessarily need a special session to get through those budgets.
What's ahead for the next couple of days in Salem?
So, like I said, just kicking off the budgets on the next couple of days on healthcare. There's going to be a lot of discussion around, you know, kind of the governor's approach to the CDC guidelines and how they're deviating from that. And just a lot more policy.
State Representative Cedric Hayden, live from the House floor in Salem. Thanks for being on.
Thank you, sir.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.